This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can reach us by calling 434-1790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. I'll be your host until 1. I'm Dennis Johnson, and sitting in the chair as a technical operator, producer, production assistant, all rolled into one. The same team yesterday, the same person yesterday, John Stout, takes care of things technical, and invite you to call and share your concerns and chat with us on things that are on your mind. And hopefully we'll keep it nice and in line with our standards, and John won't be overworked, and hopefully neither will I. Our fingers should be nice and free, and our voices clear, and we should have a discussion on whatever it is you wanted to talk about this morning. So while John gets his calls lined up, let's see if we can say good morning to the first of our callers as he goes down the line. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
I find that you're doing some good work pertaining to water authorities.
Well, they're responding, so I'm happy that they are.
Yeah. Now, let me speak on behalf of some people in Fort Hill and St. Peter.
Mm-hmm.
There's no drought, and as far as they are concerned, they are not getting water on a continuous basis in Fort Hill and St. Peter. I understand from report who asked me to call that Sunday they don't get it about 3 o'clock in the morning. They don't get water. And then the balance of the day, they're out of water. So I would like some person from Water Authority to address that problem, because there's no water problem as far as the wells is concerned. It means it has to be a distribution problem. So if they could get to that one, I would be very well appreciated on behalf of those people. And I think the representative of St. Peter should look into that, because it's a serious problem in Fort Hill and St. Peter. Now, let me move on now to my observation, and give me a chance to get my observation.
Okay.
I do not follow politics like how other people do. I like to look at the history of anything, because from the first day, it is history. I was looking at the selection process and the election process. The Senate is being selected.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
And the members of the lower house are elected. I have observed, and you can look at it, that with this last election process, we have about four or five, I can't remember if it's four, but we've got to look back at my research, are sons and daughters of former politicians. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They are sons and daughters of former politicians.
Yep.
You have Monique Tate.
Right. There
you
is
have Eddie Moore, who is the
Lucille
daughter of Moore.
Lucille Moore, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have
Santia Bradshaw.
And Bradshaw is the lower house.
Oh, sorry, you're looking at the Senate. Yeah, Tom Adams' son. Yeah.
Tom Adams' son.
Mm-hmm.
And John Boyce's son.
And John Boyce's son. That's correct, yeah.
So I'm looking to see if we are going down.
If we have in a following generation of politicians coming out. No, but listen.
Yet.
But hold on. It is possible that we do in Barbados, in fact, have a political dynasty in the making, because the prime minister herself is the daughter of a former politician.
But she was elected.
Well, no. What I'm saying is that the process could be, don't forget, she also served in the Senate at one point, eh? Ms. Motley did serve in the Senate, if I remember correctly. So what I'm saying is there is a possibility that, what you call it? I don't know, political blood runs in veins? I don't know.
I don't know. I can't raise a discussion.
No, it's an interesting observation.
Good. Yeah. Now, the other one, now I heard, and I read in the Sunday paper, the contracts pertaining to the
Queen Elizabeth Hospital.
What the person who was serving in the lower house and the upper house,
mm-hmm.
the person who prepared lunches.
Oh, yeah, that one, the lunch, yeah.
And that is a total, one session is over $20,000 mm-hmm. for the lower house.
Yeah, I saw it.
And the other session is $17,000. I am observing how much money it is taking us to pay people, to pay politicians to get dinner. Because when I calculate it, it is an average of about $400 per person to be served in Parliament in one day. At the same time, there's a backdrop where a politician receives entertainment allowance and traveling allowance. And now to be paying this sort of money, I think that this should be looked at. If you are cutting back, I believe if you are cutting back, the same way you could cut, we call the camps, I see politicians again paying enough that you pay their own
lunch.
But lunch. I tell people I look at things different to other people. I am not only looking at the contract. The contract is a serious indictment, but I am looking at what the contract says, how much money they are paying politicians. This is ridiculous. This is how I look at it. I could only speak on my own and how I view things. I call myself a political activist. I don't follow politics because I want to say follow politicians. When I see things that is against the trend pertaining to the average man, $300 or $400 to pay a politician, although he's getting traveling allowance and entertainment allowance, that is equivalent to an average person working for $300 to $400 a whole week.
And back to find a week? So they got people that work for that every fortnight or perhaps even less. Look, when I looked at the figures, I mean, I know that caterers, sometimes the utensils they use, how they procure the whatever it is they want to serve, the diversity of the meal they provide. I don't know what the menu looks like. And I know there are people who do costings of menu, because I worked in the industry. And I know there are people in the food and beverage who could look at a menu and tell me, this menu, if you want this, will cost that, because they work out their costs. However, when you look at the figures like you did and like I did, beer, just looking at the figures, it kind of steep. Let me put it that way. At the mildest I could put it, it is kind of steep. And I agree with you. If you're going to trim, you got to look at things like that, because to quote the Trinidadian Caissonian, how are we going to look? It didn't look good. It really ain't look good. That's the
all
truth.
Right, thank you, Dennis.
No problem at all, sir. And I appreciate your frankness. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
On the air?
Yes, you are.
I have 3 small points, but I have to put down and go. I'm going out, okay?
All right.
I will listen in my car.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to say is that there was a guy that called yesterday pertaining to trimming old people's bills, right? Mm-hmm. But I want to find out if he said this person is about 80-something years, and he would like the government to look into the old people. But what I want to ask him, how much old people live alone, and how much old people use their current and their water without grands and children and friends and family?
It's a question I've asked him, and it's one of the things I pointed out to him when he called, that it's, there are, for example, I think it's in London, it was pointed out to me by someone who lived in London, that if you have government houses in London, if you're getting assistance from the government in your housing, there are certain stipulations. You can't have any and everybody coming to live with you. You must do this, you must do that.
Exactly.
There are conditions attached to government housing units. Unfortunately, in Barbados, government housing units, while they may be assigned to one person, subsidized housing to one person, granddaughter comes in, daughter comes in, grandchildren come in, okay. boyfriend of granddaughter and boyfriend of daughter comes in, and you end up with 8 or 10 people in a house that was designed sometimes for just one person or two people.
Right. So you can't pay for all those
and you can't even control people coming and
exactly.
using your things either, because you know you may have somebody who say they come in to help you, but yeah. they're preparing meals to sell to somebody else. And so you have issues with it unless it's controlled.
Yeah. Yeah. Second point, quick.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that I hope for this crop over season, the ladies will come out and dress better. Because it left a lot to be desired. You can't tell if these ladies, especially I'm saying married people, like putting on their children clothes, they're dressing like young girls, they have on like these little cut-off jeans, all the private parts. So, and they're experienced people. Come on. Yes, we know you're going to party and enjoy yourself, but you have to come out looking a little better than that. Show some respect. I didn't tell nobody to go and trouble nobody because they dress skimpy, but they need to respect themselves. And the third point, quick, before you go, mm-hmm. I think that Reverend Astley owes his constituency an apology. Because that no other person won a seat outside of the Barbados Labour Party, and he knows very well that if he wasn't on that ticket, he couldn't win. So before he do what he has to do, he should have spoken to his people. I have to run. All right, I will listen to you.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. The WhatsApp message says, same here in Canada. They come in and search. And someone also says that, don't remember the age, but when it was started in Nevis a year or two ago, not telephone, just water and electricity, and that is only if the persons lived alone. This is down to brass tacks. It's interesting to note that comment about Nevis actually came from somebody there who sent the information to somebody in Barbados. So it's good to know that people across the pond follow us. There's someone who called from another island some time ago. Yep. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, it is. Good morning to you too. I'm all right.
I've been here for a while. Let me just first, before I get on, I want to congratulate you first on your ideals, which I heard yesterday. I want to get into yesterday, but I couldn't get in. Okay. But I want to congratulate you. I think you and I share the same kind of ideas about life, you know. I know how it could be. But let me get on my first point. Not point, let me get on to something. Mm-hmm. I want to congratulate the Chapman Street Church of God. I would, the first time I'm speaking for a long time, on the 100th year anniversary of a church, I grew up in that year, Baxter's Road, and you can look right down at that church. I went to Sunday school there up to when I was 7 years old. I want to congratulate them very much and continue their continuing way to help young people and the way of their from the beginning and celebrating 100 years a long time in God's service. Thank you for that. I also want to pass my sympathy and condolence to Dr. Waldo Ramsey, who is finally a gentleman, a nice man and a gentleman. And I hope that God will bless him wherever he is, so he's keeping me going to. He was a nice guy. Let me just get on to my first topics. Mm-hmm. And yesterday you were on the ball. I want to speak about two things. LBJ, the artist, mm-hmm. and also the church. And I'm going to be very precise this morning, and I don't know if you will probably agree with a lot of things I'm going to say. What you said yesterday was pretty true about many things about the LBJs and the church. Let me just go to the LBJs first. I want to say, Dennis, I'm going to play a scenario with you with that scenario. If you're building a house, and you're excited to get a house, okay, and you build this house and you feel so happy about it, but you have not looked into this house. You feel good at this house, you sell everything, and you've looked into the banks and everything, except this house, and you come around. And you feel good about this house. But you do not look in this house and see after a year or two or 3 years after that the contract you had building this house left the beam fills down to the bottom where termites could come and eat the roof down. This is a scenario. And then you have all the trouble in the world. This has to do with these overseas IT organizations who know spend their wings upon you. And I like you said, when we independence was my money rubber stamp, and if you are looking at things not in a holistic way, and you want to agree to these things, you sit down, you don't study these things that are going to affect you 25 and 30 and 50 years afterwards. But you sell them to these things. After time, you have not looked at these things to make things, but you were so happy to get these things done. For certain purposes or many purposes. Everybody in the Caribbean wanted to be a leader, so everybody wanted to have independence. I know a good government, I know I had the age, you know, Britain give it to you, give it to you, there's nothing nobody fight for. You give it to us. And you did us to a house. I said, you know what I'm talking. Mm-hmm. And that happens. Now you're facing the facts. If you watch, Dennis, if you watch that demonstration in Barbados, to me, it was not a barbarous-oriented demonstration. It was a natural demonstration. I watch it carefully, watch the people on it. In a natural demonstration. These people are now coming like how they're abolishing capital punishment because you have, as you said yesterday, to beg them and tie on to them for certain things, and they've got the chance to keep you in what you want to have. I'm hoping that this Ms. Motley and the government of this country, they ignore that. And let these people know that we don't want these things in here like that. We have a country with moral. People are most barbarous are moral. And if they want to conduct this thing in their country, let them conduct it. But we have some say here still. Normally we are begging, but still, when a beggar still have some say too, you know. It depends on the man or the person. A beggar like me, we got to say. Because I'm begging on me that I should left you to be destroyed. I can ask you why you're doing these things to me and things like that. I got that she and the government barbarous will not let it happen. And I believe that if it comes to a stage where it's being pushed, that we'll have to go to a referendum for it. Although referendum dollars solve things, you say, you were right with that. We will let the people have the choice, and if we will not get there, I will say, look, no, that's not my country. We are not, I hear, I know they got some church, they may know saying, I like all these things, who's claiming that they don't want men to have you with men, but they want this insemination. I don't know what kind of Christianity can be. That if a woman wants a child, she can go and put in a sperm bank. You know, if she get a child like Don Jelinger, who he could be, and get her sperm or to get a child. I don't see I hear about a church that got some in it that saying that. I don't know which church they belong to. Or whose Christian church they belong to, Dennis. I want to know. I hope the government just kind of take a stand on that issue. LBJs, and tell them, look, this can't be done for the other one. The national body can't come and push me around.
Fair enough, sir. There are a couple of issues, though, that it's unfortunate that my cry has always been the way we abuse things that have been set up for a particular reason. Whether it is government housing for those who are in need, genuine need, whether it is an opportunity for women who would like to have children but have gynecological issues that prevent them from doing so. There are people who would like to have children, and in the eyes of the church and the community, doing the right thing. They're married to each other. They're devoted to each other. But because of physical and other issues, they're unable to have children, and they go to fertility clinics. They go to sperm banks, and they try to find a way. They even, if adoption is not a method, or they can't get a newborn baby and they don't want to adopt a full-grown child. You know, so those institutions were set up to assist people like that, like cosmetic surgery. People who are injured in accidents, people who have to have a breast removed or whatever, and they makes them feel less than female, so they wanted plastic surgery. But it's been abused. People want to adjust their ears and lift their eyes and tighten their nose and change their lips and all sorts of strange things. I listen to those things and I just let it go. Because when I look at my hands, I realize that all my fingers are not the same size or not the same length, and I don't hear anybody wanting to make all their fingers the same length. Perhaps they are. I hear about people breaking their bones and setting them apart a few centimeters so the bones could get longer so they could have 7-foot children to play basketball and get $1 million or $7 million or $20 million. I think it's nonsense. But, yeah, you start off with one thing and it's abused. How to stop abuse? I don't think we found a solution to that yet, so there will always be abuse. But life continues. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, ma'am.
How are you?
I am not bad, and you?
I am not bad.
Tell me.
I'd like to speak about something you said on the last program, and something you say just now.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you, because for years, people is using the disabled, even when their family die and lose anything, they use them to get a life.
Mm-hmm.
You will not see nobody As soon as you have a little hose or something, you'll start to see many people coming. So I know in England a lot you speak about, because I check out all those things. And even now, before you travel, you can easily have a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. But now even that, the body is absorbing too.
Mm-hmm.
And anything before, people would be here to even social with disabilities. And now because of the different resources that is out there, there is trying everything to counter it. Even begging. They're begging out for the disabled.
Mm-hmm.
I see in the States a customer in the news how for parking in a disabled spot. You know, everything, even the bathrooms, all the things. Because I check everything. I go on the ground and check even the disabled bathrooms. They use them overseas. And so anything that people can get to capitalize on, they knew. It's not that they care about you, they just knew you. So I agree. And sometimes you don't even have nothing to eat because they get abused everything from you. So they get news you. But then, so I agree what you said.
You know, I have to tell you, one of the challenges that especially elderly and people with disabilities more so even than just elderly people, is how easily the things that you have fought for can be abused and or taken away from you. I know cases where people were given food stamps and the people who were supposed to be caring for them would take the food stamps and go and spend, let's say it was a $50 food stamp, $30 would be spent on the person, and then the rest would go to alcohol for the person who assists them, you know, because they just want money. And it is unfortunate that whenever, and you fought long and hard for some of the little things that have come your way, just little things, but fought long and hard for it, and they're taken away or they're abused because of inconsiderate behavior. Graham Vaughan, who was my technical operator for the longest while, was in an accident, an unfortunate, serious accident a couple of weeks ago. And Graham is, as the people would say, lick up. Now, he wasn't born with a disability, but for a while, he will not be as mobile as he used to be. And I'm sure there are things that he would have been familiar with when he was able, that he would have to get accustomed to. Now he is, you know, recovering and being repaired. We have to be aware of the fact that some things you don't call on yourself, and just be a little bit more empathetic to those in need. But unfortunately, greed is a strange thing, and it takes over really, really fast. Really fast. It's good hearing from you, though. And keep up the fight. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Sir.
Yeah, a couple of things here.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is that salvation is a total commitment between yourself and God. That's one. And the eating of pork has nothing to do at all with your salvation. That was designed for the God's people when he led them from the land of Egypt into the promised land, and he gave them these laws or rules. At the end of time, when Jesus Christ came on the earth, he came, not that he changed the laws, he fulfilled the laws, so that the Gentiles, which is people like you and I, and the majority of the people of the Baptists, will get to hear the word of God and stop worshiping what we at that time, or what they thought at that time, were gods, G-O-D-S,
No, this is a question that I would ask, and I would like you to, when you get home, look at it and reflect on it. There are some of us who have kept the faith. Do you agree?
They say so, sir. I don't know. I can't tell you what people do or don't do.
Okay.
I don't mind people's business.
All right. There are some of us who have fought the good fight, and there are some of us who have finished the course. The question remains, how many of us, if the deaf angel had to come tonight, could tell you deaf angel, I have finished the course, I'm ready to go home? That's the question. Can you answer that, sir?
Sir?
Yes.
The only person who could answer that is the same gentleman that you say died on the cross for our salvation. There were two people hanging on either side of him. Thieves, they tell me. So they were both thieves. They did thief. They were both found guilty of thiefing and faced the sentence of being hung on a cross. I can't tell you which one repented and which one did not from standing up looking at the bottom of the cross. If I stood up in Calvary and looked up at the cross, I can tell you which one was a good thief or which one was a bad thief. I can tell you which one thief a tin of corned beef or which one thief $7 million. I am not the judge. What it says to me, though, is that both of us could do the same thing. Both of us could get convicted for the same crime. But the Supreme Judge will judge us differently from the judge in Bridgetown. And I can't tell you which one of us will or which one of us won't. That's not my job. I don't know. Breast sex, good morning.
Yes, good morning, sir. Am I on air?
You are.
Hello?
You are on air. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Morning, Mr. Johnson.
Morning.
I got a short query for a little help from you. No, sir, the BRA, the 2014 income tax, you go to customer care to tell the check approved. They send you up to Robert Street. When you go there, the tell you, oh, it's not ready yet. It done approved. They will call you. Sir, this is months. And you know when you're not working. Up to this morning, I call back, and one of the ladies going to tell me, I give her my registration number, all the details and things, and she's telling me, oh, it's not ready. I mean, sir, I don't know. I don't work there, so I can't say, but I know the procedures. But it means months and months. Every time you call, they're giving you a different story. I just beg you this morning, sir, to just put it out to see if it, cause I know it's not only my one that will be in that circumstance. You understand, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. So,
all right. Let's hope they hear you.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis. How are you doing?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm fine. I'm elated.
Good. Good.
Why are you laughing, Dennis?
Me? Because I think laughter is good. It eases the tension.
Yes.
And if you're elated, that means, you know, good things are coming your way. You're on the top of the world.
Yes.
Keep surfing.
Before I go into what I really call about, mm-hmm. I think it was last week when I think Sacrifice was on. They were talking about the cars, derelict cars on the road.
Yeah, Sanka did talk about derelict vehicles.
Right. I wasn't in a position to call. Mm-hmm. But they got some on both sides of Whitehill. And it get to the stage where the St. Andrew Church versus Cameron Terrenbury was a showing church. And at night, they can't turn around there. So the folks have to trek from Hillaby in the bus to Whitehill. So we appreciate it if we would get a little help in getting the move from both sides. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
I call to say thanks to VOB first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to my Prime Minister, Mayor Martley, mm-hmm. my MP, George Payne, the Minister of Transport and Works, Mr. Duguid, and Mr. Phillips. Because I'm happy to report that Whitehill Road has started. And we are elated and want to say thanks to the public and VOB Radio Works. Thanks to you, Dennis Johnson, and Corey Lane, and all who fought with us, sympathized with us in our time of pain and suffering.
No
it's
pun
over.
On the pain. You know, I saw the story about the repairs. I also saw some comments that the road has been repaired before nature comes back and takes it away, and that you have issues out in that area. The challenge, I think, going forward, will be ensuring that the work that's done, if ever there is erosion, if there are signs of slippage, that action is taken quickly, and that there is cooperation from those of you who remain in the area, because it is, I think what has happened a lot, and no, I'm serious, what's happened a lot with our infrastructure over the years, especially the last, I would say, 7 or 8 years, when the government found itself in serious financial problems and couldn't figure out how to get out of it, the infrastructure started falling apart. Yeah. Roads fell apart, things weren't maintained, the buildings were having problems, and while the concentration was on paying salaries, some of this work...
Went
completely haywire. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. You know that everything that you read in the media don't be true.
Well, I know that, trust me. I know that from bitter experience, because I work in a media house.
Everything that is being said, everything that is in the media is not true. It's only who live down here would know what is going on down here. And I've seen a lot of strange comments under the story that is like, I live down here. I have never experienced most of the things that people say. I have never experienced. But it's for you to live it and for who to... People just run off with things that they hear, which is not even true. Half of the story that is being said about what here is not true.
Ma'am, I am well aware of the fact that most times, I would say 40 to 50% of a story is conjecture, and perhaps another 40% of the 50% that is true may need investigating. I always say in the corridor here all the time that I work in a media house and I learn to believe half of what I see and none of what I hear. People laugh at me when I say that. Right now there's a gentleman here shaking his head. But I say so all the time. I say I've learned from working in the media to believe half of what I see and none of what I hear.
I've been living in Whitehill for more than 30 years, and half of the things I've heard about Whitehill.
How many times did you have slippage in that 30 years? Often?
I never seen a land slippage out here before like this. I can barely see the reason for that. The area that has been cleared, it was a broken pipe, which everybody that lives out here know that. And maybe it's about it, and it's only one area. It's only one particular. When you got land slippage, it don't take a genius to figure it out. When you got land slippage, it's go in different, in more than one place will slip. It's only one particular area, you know, and this is where the pipe was broken. This pipe was broken for God knows how long. I was informing the water authority about this pipe before this happened, and everybody totally ignored me. Right now, down at the other end, the only road that we're using right now, there is five broken pipes. I call the water authority on numerous occasions. A gentleman came and tell me he can get the pipe fixed. They don't want to call his name on the radio. The pipe's still spouting. There is five. One where the bus stand run right now. I can name them, and I keep calling, and that is only one way in and one way out. And we are totally neglected. I was calling about this pipe from since January, about this pipe that burst. And the only way in for us and the only way out. And water authority just neglecting us. So they just don't care. So it's like, I ask them, they want history repeated itself out here. For everybody, they're neglecting us, because this is the conclusion they come to. Everybody will say, oh, Scotland District is prone, Whitehill is prone to land slippage. That's why I narrow it down to. The pipe down there spouting like, well, one of the pipes down there spouting, the blue pipe spouting, that is spouting for months. And not everybody just totally ignoring us.
Ma'am, I don't know what is the, perhaps you need to have one of these name changes and change Whitehill's name to another name. I don't know, because the feeling you have that you're neglected because of the area and the stories about slippage, I hope that's not the reason. Water running into porous soil is going to cause issues. Water is the most destructive element. Sometimes we don't realize it, but if you just have water dripping, drip on the same spot, if you go back after a month or so, you can see a hole. And the hole is not done by a drill. It's done by the water dripping and it drip all day long. So that's why there was something called the water torture. I hope that the fixing of the road is the first step to ensuring that utility vehicles could get in, that bus service could be resumed, and that life becomes a little bit happier for you. Got a note from the program manager that says quarterfinal playoff number 2, Joaquin's Tiny Whiny versus Mikey's Fettin Family. Mikey Fettin Family 56% to Joaquin's Tiny Whiny 44%. So former People's Monarch Mikey is back in the running again. 434-1790. Brass Tax, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, good morning to you.
I will be frank this morning.
I hope you always are. Tell me.
Listen, do you feel that the former Prime Minister knew about the things that is coming out now in Parliament?
He should.
Well, that is my opinion. If he knew and did nothing, I feel the only time that we should hear about those names again is in our obituary. Not one of them in call the radio or come out and say, this is, no, they're telling lies or yes, we did it. No remorse. That the death did not care what they did. To be honest, man, this is something. This is not worrying me. How can you be a CEO of a company and allow people to just get on so? And now we're going to suffer because of what they did.